we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here in 2020. My name's Bob Arthurs, and this is a week of prayer and fasting for us at Merritt Assembly of God. And so we've asked our congregation to be prayerful and ask God if there's anything that they want them to set aside for the next several days that God could use to draw them closer to Him. And so we will not be fasting every meal, but we are going to be seeking to hear from God more clearly and distinctly. We're preparing for our revival services coming up this next week with a missionary evangelist. And so we're really excited about that. His name's Mark Perkey. Went to Bible college with him, didn't know that until until we rekindled our relationship. I said, I think we went to Bible college. He said, we did. Well, come to find out, we were there we crossed paths a little bit there. He graduated a semester before I did, I think it was. And so we're expecting great things while we are there. Very, very talented guy. His wife is a dynamic minister as well. And he is going to be preaching the word. We'd love to have you come out Sunday morning and Sunday night, 10:30 of a morning, 6:30 of an evening, and share with us as we come boldly before the throne of grace. So I will be preaching as well this week in another revival service. And so I'd like to thank Pastor Luis Barrios for the invitation. And I will be preaching there this evening. So at the Tabernacle of David, I'll just translate it that way, Tabernacle of David Ministry on Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida. So the only time I've ever preached with an interpreter, and so this will be round two. Last year I was in Fiji. He invited me to preach last year, but I said, I just can't fit it in this year. But we are excited about what God is doing. We want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Let's make 2020 a year of moving forward, taking care of the projects that need to be done, calling the people with the expertise and the experience to get the job done right, get it done beautifully, and sustainably, and on budget. So give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Whenever I drive by one of their sites, I try and remember to pray for them, that they would do a wonderful job, that everybody would stay safe, that the job would get done on time, on budget, and that God would continue to bless them. I know if you have block or concrete work, they will do a great, great job for you. So we're going to return to Psalm 119 today, Psalm 119, and we're looking at some things that God, that the psalmist in Psalm 119 wanted God to do for him. You know, last week we had started off by talking about some things that we needed to do. Psalm 119 says that there are some things that the psalmist is asking God to do. Verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, For your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So last week we had talked about God, teach me, that we have a mindset, an attitude, a desire to learn from God, and specifically to learn God's ways. The second thing was give me understanding. Give me understanding. It's one thing to teach, but that teaching is never really complete until we come to that place of understanding. And when we get that understanding, then we wholeheartedly obey. Everything that we ask God to do for us is going to, like that law of physics says, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. For everything we ask God to do in us and through us and for us, there is going to evoke a response that says, you know what, I need to respond to God because of what he's done. Teach me your ways and I will keep it. Give me understanding and I will obey it wholeheartedly. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. It's a luxury for us to be able to do life victoriously, to do life in righteousness and holiness, to do life in obedience to what God has instead of being in bondage to the desires of this world. For I delight in it. It's a luxury that we need to afford ourselves. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. So we concluded last week by saying, God, incline my heart to your testimonies. Have you ever seen a tree that was growing crooked? Okay, I've seen some pretty small trees that were growing, and they weren't growing vertically. They were kind of growing like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And you look at them, and you say, it really shouldn't be that difficult to straighten that tree up. And so you put your shoulder to it and you give it your all. And I don't care how old you are, how strong you are, you're not going to be able to tilt that tree the right way, or to tilt it back into its proper position, unless you deal with the root system. You've got to make way for there to be something taking place, that which is visible, by dealing with that which is not visible to the naked eye. And so the psalmist here says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. And so we've got to say, God, my heart needs to be positioned properly, and it needs to, it right now it inclines towards longing for things that you don't want me to have, because either A, they belong to someone else, B, it is not the right time, or C, it is not something that I need in my life. Those are the three reasons in which we would not be able to receive that which we're asking for. A, it either belongs to somebody else and therefore it is not ours. B, it's not the right time. Or C, it's not something that is in our best interest. Okay, you might want to write those things down. It will really help you during those times of frustration when you are when you're wondering, why isn't God answering my prayers the way that I want him to answer my prayers? So incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. This is not one of those both and situations. This is an either or situation. If we are manifesting a lifestyle of covetousness, we can rest assured that our heart is not properly inclined toward God. Coveting is the evidence of a spiritual heart problem, and we need to address it as a serious heart problem. You know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't like it when my body is not responding the way that it's used to responding, or it responds with a pain trigger. I don't like that. And so if I've got something that is manifesting that there's a problem, pain is an evidence of something that is not functioning properly. You know, I remember when Ed Silvoso preached in Melbourne. He preached a conference, a countywide conference back, I believe, in 1998, somewhere around in there. And I remember him saying, if you have cobwebs in your house, you don't have a cobweb problem. You have a spider problem. Most of the time, we think if we just go down and we'll pull the cobwebs down, that will solve the problem. But what we actually need to address is what created the cobwebs in the first place. So we don't just treat the symptoms. We treat the source of the problem. So much of what we just talked about, we've talked about and covered last week. Verse number 37, the psalmist gives the next request for God. God, would you turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things? Have you decided what your focus is going to be, what you are going to be fixated on in 2020? For some of you, it may be spiritual breakthrough. For some, it may be a college education. It may be winning people to Jesus. There are a lot of different things that people are focused on. If you're a sports fan, there are lots and lots of people who their entire sense of worth is whether or not their sports team wins a championship or not. So there are coaches who literally work around the clock. Some of them even have beds in their offices. They don't even take enough time to go home because they've got to win that championship. Well, winning is great. It's fine. It's fun. But it has no eternal value. And so the psalmist here says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. What are things that this society tries to get us fixated on that are worth less than fixing our eyes on Jesus? If we allow God to correct our heart, we can also ask him because of that heart, because now we are protecting this inclination that we have towards the Word of God, we can impact what we look at. It may surprise a number of people to find out that your television actually has an off button, and your computer actually has ways of not taking you to sites that you don't want to be looking at. Okay, it may be that you are just totally obsessed with the craziness that goes on in Washington. There are hundreds of television stations, and you know what they are all vying for? They're not TVs, not just TV stations, but there are streaming services and things that are produced just for subscribers, and every one of them is vying for your eye. We are very visual creatures. Much of what we hear, our mind takes what we hear and forms an image inside of our head. And we get fixated on that. And many times disappointment comes because the image that we have projected inside of our head, that we fixed our vision on, doesn't come to pass. So we need to have a value system If I can maybe redefine value system here today, you know, some people talk about values. Well, we value this and we value that and we value this. What are your core values? Well, what that actually means is that you have deemed these things of greater worth than anything else. So the psalmist here says, incline my heart, but also turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Have you ever just sat in front of a television and you really weren't paying attention to it? You just literally shifted your brain into neutral and you were just sitting there, as I like to say, serving as gravity's backup plan for the chair. That way, in case gravity begins to fail, you'll provide a little bit more mass to try and hold it down to the ground. You really aren't doing anything. Well, let me tell you, every one of us is given 168 hours during a week. And there is a lot of time, and if you take a third of that, if you're one of those fortunate ones that gets 8 hours of sleep, man, if I get 8 hours of sleep, I many times that's restorative. A lot of times I'm getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. If I get 7, I feel pretty good. I function, like I say, with 4, but on days that I get 4 hours sleep, about mid-afternoon, I start sounding a lot less productive, let's put it that way. And so we have certain things that we are required to do. There's jobs. If you don't have a job, get one. There are companies out there begging people to come to work for them. Right now, the latest statistic that I had heard, it may be more, it may be less now, but that there were 7 million more jobs than what people were actually willing to work. And so if you don't have a job, look at your resume, find a job. It's easier to get another job if you have a job. That might sound crazy, but it's actually true. When my youngest daughter was graduating college, and for both of my kids that graduated from college, there was this lengthy delay. There was like a 3-month delay between when they graduated and when they actually started to work. And so for my youngest daughter, she was pretty frustrated with it, and I came home and I said, hey, there's a new business that is opening up not far from where we live, and I encourage you to go and apply for that. I wasn't telling her she had to. I was just suggesting. Now, the job market then wasn't like the job market now, and so it was still pretty competitive. And she said, why? I didn't go to school in order to work at this type of business. And I said, I just want to encourage you to go and do that because it will at least provide some income for you, and it's easier to find a job when you have a job. And so she went, she put in her application, she got hired, she went through the training, and she started working there. She had been working there just a few days when another application that she had put in at another company, they called her in for an interview, and she went in for the interview. And during that interview, they asked her, well, you've got a job. Why are you looking for another job? And she said, look, this is what the job I'm applying for is the type of job that I actually went to school to prepare for. But I'm not just going to sit around on my hands waiting for my dream job to come to pass. I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be productive until the job comes about. And she ended up getting hired by that company and has worked there now for ever since. So I encourage you, turn away your eyes from worthless things. Now, there is nothing that is worth more than your relationship with Jesus. There's no relationship that is more important outside of Jesus than the relationship that you have with your spouse and with your family. And I just encourage you, maybe create a worth list, not a worthless, a worth list, a value list. What is it that you value in 2020? And use that as a standard of measurement. This could be a great tool in helping you to grow in this coming year. And then whenever you have that list established and you see eternal worth in those things, then I encourage you, say, God, would you fix my eyes on the things that are valuable, the things that are priceless? Give me vision for the things that you value and how I can apply, how I can really develop in those things. God, fix my eyes on the things that you have created for me. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. I remember hearing a preacher back in the 1990s, he said, it might surprise you that God has given you a neck that controls your head, which controls the vision field that you have set for your eyes. I want to destroy the temptation for victimization in 20 and encourage you to seek the face of God so that he can empower you to know, understand, and really strive to accomplish the vision, the valuable vision, the priceless vision that God has given to you. God, revive me in your way. What you will find is that doing the things that God has called you to do, that they will not be wearisome to you, but they will revive you. They will revive you. Someone posted back before Christmas this little GIF, and it said, when you're in the ministry and you're exhausted, but the show has got to go on, and it shows this dance team that is performing, and there's a person who doesn't want to be up there, and they are crying all the way through this dance recital, but they are still doing the hand motions and the dance motions. I don't know. She might not have been feeling well. She might have been exhausted. She might have been doing something that she hated, but it kind of lets you know what goes on sometimes. It's like, look, we've got to press on here. Well, I will tell you this. When you and I fix our eyes on Jesus, when we fix our eyes on the things that are valuable to him and the things that he created us for, and we say, you know what, that's the life I'm going to pursue, we will find that it will be reviving, not fatiguing. God wants you revived and refreshed in 2020. Not just so that we do the work of the ministry, but we do it with great joy. God, restore the zeal or the joy of our salvation. It says, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to hearing you. And so we ask God, the word that we've heard, would you anchor that in my life? It has to be intentional. People only remember a small percentage of the things that they hear. And remembering is not the same as establishing. I remember sermons that God birthed in my spirit that were transformative. They just weren't words that were supposed to come out of my mouth. words that will turn turmoil into triumph. Words that give divine order to the chaos of life. And so those messages are very dear to me. God, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to hearing you. I pray that this year, that this week of prayer and fasting, that it will become something not that you don't have to do, but you're committed to doing it because you love to do it. We're going to try and finish up with this section today. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. As you begin 2020, may God remove the drag, if you will, off of your past failures. Whenever you are trying to move forward, you want to make sure that there is nothing that is dragging you back or holding you down. You want to move forward with efficiency. And I want you to know that the forgiveness that is available through the Lord Jesus Christ is a tremendous liberator. It doesn't hold us back because we're constantly remembering our past failures. I pray that God will give you a short memory when it comes to your sins, because he has forgiven them and cleansed them. I don't want you to forget about them entirely, because a lot of people become very legalistic and very judgmental of people who are not where they are at, forgetting that they were once where those same people that they're looking down are, that they live. Remember that God forgave you, but don't let your failures hold you back. Verse 40 says this: Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. You know, the world tells everybody, man, if you were just out here sinning like everybody else was sinning, you would be having the time of your life. I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell. Those people go home and they can't even remember many of the things that you do. You want to experience the highest quality of life that you could possibly enjoy, then say, God, I want you to develop in me a hunger for your word and revive me, strength, breathe life into me so that I can live a righteous and holy life. You know what? It is so good when you get to go home at night and you get to lay your head on your pillow and you don't have to wonder if anybody's going to find out if you did anything sinful that day or unscrupulous, because you said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of me, or the Lord of my life, easy for me to say, and empower me to live like you always wanted me to live. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.